14.
It's a familiar scripture, but a very encouraging scripture. Most of the time when you hear John 14, you think of verses 1 through 6, and I even dealt with those recently. But tonight I want to look at our Comforter as we see in verses 15 through 26. Because we've got a command here at the beginning of these scriptures that is impossible. It is impossible for us to fulfill. Not hard, impossible. But I thank the Lord that we see in this scripture that when He makes a command that is impossible for us to obey, He doesn't expect us to do it. He gives us a comforter that will enable us to do anything that He tells us to do. We're going to see a perfect example tonight of a command given to us, a comforter given to us, who gives us the ability to comply with that command, and then He rewards us, as we'll see in the text, like we did it. But when He does reward us like we did it, may the Lord help us not to poke our chest out and think we did. Because Israel did that in the Old Testament. God told him on the outset. He said, when you get in the promised land and you're living in those houses you didn't build and you're reaping from those fields you didn't sow and you're getting all the benefits of a beautiful promised land that I gave you, do not think that you did it. Because if we do, then we defeat the whole purpose of why God did it through us. It's not to get us glory. It's to get Him glory. That's why God deals in impossibilities, so that when it gets done, when Lazarus is raised from the dead, it would be obvious that it was God that did it. Because if Lazarus had not have died, they could say, well, He just gave him a miracle medicine and saved his life. And there would have been a man-made explanation. That's why Jesus stayed behind and waited a couple extra days. Because He wanted to get maximum glory. That's why God does what He does. That's why He gives us impossible commands and gives us a comforter, so that if we'll surrender to Him and allow Him to enable us to do it, it will be obvious it wasn't us, it was Him. See, that's why God chooses jokers like me. Not because I think, yeah, Pastor Tyler, now that is an orator. That is a preacher. Yeah. I'm going to send him to Mount City Baptist because he's something special. You all know that's not true. God called me and has placed me here so that if something good comes of it, you would be very quick to say, God did that. That's why the Lord... That's why He does what He does. And the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God wants to use us. God gives us impossible commands. Not hard, impossible. Because if we're not careful, we think the Holy Spirit is our helper. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. If we think He's our helper, that means we got a part in it. No. Helper as in hop on His back and let Him carry you. Let Him enable you. Let Him work through you. So we're going to see that tonight as we think about our comforter very quickly. Everybody said amen. Pastor Tyler's only got 20 minutes. So here we go. John 14 verses 15 through 26. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day,
Ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments, that means understands, not just has them, but understands them, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And I believe that should be the desire of every believer, that God manifest himself, that we know him better, that we see him better. Remember, that was my prayer. And turns out that was the theme of that church, of Gethsemane Baptist Church. The theme of the year for them was, we would see Jesus. I said, praise the Lord, that was my prayer as we went in there. And then the preaching did just that. But as it continues on, verse number 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. God wants to abide with us. That means take up residence, put down a stake and stay there. 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And I love verse 26, and this is where we'll stop. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Four things tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, we see the proof of true salvation in verse 15. And verse 21 references it as well. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's the gauge. That's what the Bible says here. That's the gauge of our love for God. How much we obey his commandments shows how much we love him. But back to what I said earlier, we can't keep his commandments. We can't do it. All we can do is disobey. All we can do is sin. All we can do is drag his name through the mud. Don't listen to these preachers that say there's a spark of good in everybody. Absolutely not. Bible says there's none good. No, not one. It says our righteousness is filthy rags. Here, if we were left to do it on our own, if we were commanded to keep his commandments, and us keeping his commandments is the measure of our love, all we would see is that we love the Lord none, if it was up to us. And what a sad thought. How miserable the Christian life would be if God says, keep my commandments, but then left it up to us. But he didn't. God knows we can't do it. And God never tells us to do something that he won't do through us if we'll let him, because that's the only way it can be done, is him doing it through us. But we've got to get us out of the way. I'm going to go ahead and quote it. I'm sure you, when we talked about the Holy Spirit, you knew it was coming. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means controlled by. That means, and that literally means, be ye being filled. It's an everyday, all day thing. Because if we want to live the Christian life, then we've got to constantly be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think the Bible says pray without ceasing? And I'm getting way ahead of myself. Because when we pray, if we pray correctly, we're igniting the power source that enables us to live the Christian life, the Holy Spirit. So we see the proof of true salvation is we obey God's commands, but we can't do it. Only God can through us. So it's, He has to give us someone to enable us to do what He commands. So God Himself is enabling us to love Him. But when we love Him, like I said, He rewards us like we did it. But we didn't, He did. And when we realize that, that makes us want to worship and praise Him more. So we see the proof of true salvation. Number two, we see the power source, which I've already referenced many times, is the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. I'm not going to swim in those deep waters tonight. It's unexplainable. Don't try to explain it, just believe it. That's what the Bible says. There are some truths that you just got to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I believe it. Now, there are some truths we can understand, and we just throw our hands up out of laziness. But some truths we can't understand, because if God wanted us to, He would have explained them in His Word. But we see the Holy Spirit is, the Bible calls, our Comforter. It says, verse number 16, and I will pray the Father. Notice that. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it says, keep my commandments. Do the impossible. But then he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comfort. He said, yes, keep my commandments. But guess what? I'm not expecting you to do it. I'm expecting you to allow me to do it through you. He says, and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit, first, I want to point out, we won't be here long, but Brother John Van Gilderen explained this very beautifully, but the Holy Spirit is a person. It's a He. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a feeling or an emotion. See, if we're not careful, we'll get the feeling that it's just a kind of a mystical thing, like magic. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. But not only is the Holy Spirit, He is a person, but He is our Paraclete. And what I mean by that is the Bible says here, it says, He shall give you a comforter. That literally means helper or paraclete. It literally means one that comes alongside you to help. Or in our case, comes to live within us to enable us to do whatever it is God tells us to do. We can't do it. If there's only one thing you remember tonight, remember that. You can't do it. I've done it, and many preachers do it. We're good at telling you what you need to do. This is what you need to do. But we can't do it. That's why we need to, when you say this is what you need to do, you say this is how you do it, and lead off with the fact the Holy Spirit is the only way you're going to be able to do it. But through the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Paul's situation there, when he wrote that scripture, he was suffering. You can do all things. You can endure suffering. You can proclaim the gospel. You can witness that person at the gas station. You can teach Sunday school. You can sing in the choir. You can, anything that the Lord tells you and me to do from His Word, He has given us a helper to, living within us, who will enable us to do it. And we see it a lot in the Old Testament, if you'll notice. Every time something special got done, the Holy Spirit showed up and did it through that person, but then at that point in history would then leave. Because at that point, the Holy Spirit didn't live within them like He does us now. But that shows us that that was God that did it. That was the Holy Spirit that did it. The same one that lives within us empowered them. He is a person. He is our paraclete, our helper. And I thank the Lord for this, and I kind of just referenced it. His presence is permanent. Permanent. It says that He may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. Because if He was only with us part-time and at 5 p.m., Brother John, he clocked out for the day, from 5 until the next day, we would We would live a miserable life. But if we'll let Him, He never gets tired. He never gets hungry. Never goes to sleep. Is always chomping at the bit, I believe, ready for us to say, enable me to do this. I surrender control to You for You to do whatever it is God has commanded me to do through me. Why do you think the Bible says, Romans 12:1, that we are to submit our bodies a living sacrifice? What that means is, hey, I'm laying me on the altar before the Lord and say, Lord, use me. Live through me. So we see He is a person. He is our paraclete. His presence is permanent. And I praise the Lord for this. He is a reminder of our promise. Verse 19 says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. We have a hope that this life isn't it. That's why we could smile and shed a joyful tear during Brother Howard's service. Because it's not see you later, it's not but goodbye forever, but it's I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you soon. We have hope. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our expectation. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on what we got waiting on us when we get to heaven. The Holy Spirit is what lets us know that the rest of the promise will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is a reminder of our promise. And we see also His purpose. What is the Holy Spirit's purpose? We see in verse 26, the big purpose is, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, I love this, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Bible says in 1 John that every child of God has been given an unction from the Holy One. That means that we have the anointing. What that means is the Holy Spirit, the author of this amazing book, lives within our hearts. And if we are to understand the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will be the one, the Bible says there, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So no one in here has an excuse not to understand the Scriptures. Now, once again, there are some Scriptures that are not understandable, because if they were, God would have explained them to us. But the Scriptures that we can understand, the Holy Spirit is ready and raring to show us and to explain to us the Word of God. His purpose is to illuminate the Scriptures to us, help us to understand them. Notice it says there, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So Scriptures that you're reading you don't understand, the Holy Spirit's job is to help you understand them. Remember, we're going to hit it on in a minute, but the command, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, before we can keep the commandments, we must understand the commandments. But apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the commandments. So we can't keep the commandments, which means we can't love God. But the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. He teaches us, but it says to remember. The Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance Scriptures that we have stored up in our hearts. I love in the book of Matthew, in all the Gospels, but Matthew is a big one there. Notice many times it said, they remembered what the Lord had said. The Word had been planted in their hearts. But at the time, they didn't understand it. Who here has read a passage of Scripture before and at that moment you didn't understand it? Please, every person in the room, raise your hand and say, yeah, because that's where we all have been. But I'm sure every one of you at some point can also say that there was a time, maybe not that same day, maybe years later, the Holy Spirit, the light bulb, went off. And finally, you understood that Scripture. And I believe that sometimes the Lord doesn't reveal it all to us at once. Not a new truth, just a truth that was there, but we weren't ready for. But then the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. Maybe we go through a life experience, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you remember that verse? You remember that verse? That's how the Lord works. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to us. But the Holy Spirit's main job is edification. What I mean by that is uplifting Jesus, pointing people to Christ. That's the main reason He illuminates the Scripture to us, to help us see Jesus more, to see Jesus better. Because when we see Jesus for who He is, or for who as who He is and what He's done, it will motivate us to want to keep those commandments by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." The Holy Spirit's sole purpose is to uplift Jesus. That's why in my ministry, in times where the Holy Spirit's been working as I've been preaching and I catch a thread, it's like, seriously, you can almost feel the gear shift. When you catch a thread where you're just bragging on Jesus and the Holy Spirit just puts His foot on the gas. I'm telling you, when you start bragging on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it's like gasoline to a fire. He's saying, "That's right, son. Keep preaching it. Tell the truth. Amen." And a lot of times, maybe you can see it in my preaching. If I catch that thread, or any preacher, I mean, when they start to brag, and believers in the room, I love it. When a preacher begins to brag on the Lord and uplift the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you can feel the preacher begin to well up and his voice begin to grow and his passion begin to show even more. And you see, a lot of times you see tears run down the people's face. You hear amens get louder and louder in the room. You will just see smiles on people's face because the Holy Spirit within every heart is saying, "That's true. That's true. That's Him. That's Him." Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. And guess what? He lives within us. So what's our job? Is to say, "Uplift Jesus through me today, Holy Spirit. At my job. In my home. At our church. Everything you do. As I'm driving down the road." Oh. Everybody's like, "Who knew? You were there, Holy Spirit?" Yeah, He was there. It's our job to let Him uplift Jesus through us. That's, once again, that's why He picks us. He don't pick the greatest, because if I had some amazing physical ability, He'd say, "Yeah, wow. He had some good training, turned him into a good preacher." Or you could take somebody that God, you could take it like Peter or all these uneducated men. The Lord chose them so that when the Holy Spirit worked, it would uplift Jesus, because that was who was working through them. So the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures. He edifies Jesus. And He animates us believers. What I mean by that, He empowers us. He is our power source. When the Bible says, "Be ye strong in the Lord and the power of His might," what He's saying is surrender your will to the Holy Spirit and let Him be strong through you. Why do you think Jesus said, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Saying, "I've got all the power, surrender to me and let the Holy Spirit live through you." So we've got an impossible command here to keep His commandments, to be attentive to His commandments. And in so doing, we demonstrate our love for Him. But the only way we can do it is through the Holy Spirit. We see the proof of true salvation, the power source. We see the plan, and I'll move very quickly. If all this is going to happen, if we're going to keep the commandments by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, number one, you got to be saved. The Holy Spirit does not live within a lost man or woman. And just because a lost man or woman has a feeling doesn't mean they have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives within the hearts of born-again believers. And just because the Holy Spirit lives within you doesn't mean you're always going to feel it. Because we think the only time the Holy Spirit's moving is when we feel it. Well, when you're witnessing to that man or woman at the gas station or at the store, I mean, I can't recall having a powerful manifestation of the Spirit where it brought tears to my eyes. No, I just remember the Lord enabling me to share the good news of the gospel in love. That's the Holy Spirit working. Now, the Holy Spirit, I praise the Lord every once in a while, and I believe He wants to do it more than we let Him. He'll show up and He'll love on us. In times of death, the Holy Spirit shows up and
feels like he just snuggles up next to us and gives us a big old hug. And I praise the Lord for that. And he wants to do that more. But just because that is not happening in a specific moment doesn't mean he's not working or he's not enabling. So we see it starts in the heart of a believer. There's got to be pardon. Then there's got to be perusing of the Scripture. That means to read through with thoroughness or care. Remember, the goal is to keep His commandments. The commandments are the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, remember, His goal is to teach and to bring back to our remembrance. You've heard me use, I used it at the senior center. I said nurse home again. Senior center. The senior center just the other day. I would pray, Lord, help me with this test. But did I study for the test? No, I did not. So I'm saying, Lord, pull from a dry well is what I was basically saying. So if we want the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word of God, or in a moment of need, help us to remember a specific verse of Scripture, then we've got to store it up in our hearts. We've got to read. We've got to read our Bible. There's no way around it. The Bible is the key. You have to. I encourage faithful Bible reading every day. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. We've got to have the Word so that He can have something to work with. So pardon, perusing the Scriptures, pondering the Scriptures, not only reading them, but meditating upon them. Our world today, and my life included, has too much entertainment in it. I'm not saying entertainment's bad, but we got an overload of entertainment. Myself included, maybe we need to start, instead of watching that TV show, listening to a sermon or listening to godly music or reading that commentary or whatever it may be, something that helps you ponder the Scriptures. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how the Holy Spirit helps you understand the Word. So through pardon, perusing the Scriptures, pondering the Scriptures, praying. Prayer is the key to it all. We're given a great armor in Ephesians 6. Powerful, powerful. And the armor ultimately is this book. But what activates it all? How do we have the helmet of salvation? How do we have the assurance of our salvation? We read the truths of the Scripture and we say, we pray, Holy Spirit, please give me the grace to understand that and to believe it. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the truth of the Word. But the Holy Spirit has got to help you understand that so that you can apply it and you can trust it. And when the Holy Spirit, you pray, Holy Spirit, help me to understand that and believe that. Guess what you're doing? Putting on the helmet of salvation. Holy Spirit, I mean, what holds it all together? The belt of truth. What's it say here? It says, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the key that brings it all together, ignites this armor that enables us to put it on and use it for the glory of God. I mean, the sword of the Spirit, our only weapon. The Holy Spirit's the only way we can understand it. And then in the moment, what did Jesus do when He was being tempted? It is written, it is written, it is written. We are not God in flesh. We are not. We need the Holy Spirit in that moment to say, hey, here's a verse. You read this the other day, you didn't think it meant nothing. Here it is. Bang! That's the picture of what's being. It's not a big old long sword, but a little dagger, a specific verse in a specific moment where the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings it back up, kind of feeds you that wham to the devil. But prayer is what ignites it all. And then there will be production. The Holy Spirit will live through us. And we will commit with Him, we will keep the commands of God. And we will show that we love God. But then we will also know that we could not have done it apart from Him doing it through us, which will keep our minds, our hearts where they need to be. So we see the proof of true salvation, the power source, the plan, the product, very quickly. The product, when we do this, there is first authentication, first of our salvation. If ye love me, keep my commandments. When we let the Holy Spirit live through us, it's evidence that we're saved, because who's the only people the Holy Spirit dwells within? Born-again believers. So when the Holy Spirit is living through us, it's evidence we're saved. But not only authentication of our salvation, but authentication of our adoration.
shows our love for Him. When we let Him live through us, we love God. It shows we love Him. So authentication, here's the big part. The product of us letting the Holy Spirit live through us is manifestation. Remember, God gives us impossible command. He gives us a comforter to do it through us. If we'll surrender to Him, to let Him do it. And then He rewards us like we did it ourselves. Verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The God of the universe wants us. He wants to manifest Himself to us. He wants to show us Him. He wants us to see Him more. And it goes on, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit lives within us, but I believe the Lord wants to take, He wants to snuggle up right next to us and us know it. He wants to manifest Himself to us. See, because when God's manifest presence, When He manifests His presence, lives are changed. God wants to make His abode with you in such a way that when you walk in a store, everybody in there knows something is different about you. Some people will respond in repentance and faith. Others will be like the Pharisees. They lost all logic and just got pure anger because they were in the presence of God. And their response was rejection. But God wants to manifest Himself to us. Verse 24, He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. God wants to manifest Himself to us. But the way to do it is to surrender our will to His. And let us not think that when we got saved that we said, Lord, I'll get saved, but I still want control. No, when we got saved, whether you understood it or not, you signed your rights away and said, I'm yours. Do with me what you want. And see, when you get to that point, we say, Lord, I can't, you can. He's going to do something special. I've seen believers who struggle with smoking, drinking, whatever it is. You just put something in there. Lord, I can't overcome this. But if you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives within you, guess what? He can through you. If you'll surrender complete control, I'm not saying give Him, take one hand off, but you hold on with a death grip with the other. And you got to say, God, I can't. Surrender your body as a living sacrifice. Watch what God does. God wants to do miracles through us. Through us. The God of the universe who is making everything go right now. Jasper asked the other day, why is the earth spinning? And then we go on a big long list of why. But I'm just saying, because Jesus is making it spin. And He's making everything. I mean, we're the perfect distance from the sun to where we're not going to freeze to death and we're not going to burn to death. Just the perfect distance away that we can thrive. And Jesus is keeping it that way. All at once, everything that's going on, the air you're breathing, the trees producing the oxygen, when the wind blows, Jesus is doing all that, and that God wants to use us. I love the Psalm 8 where it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God wants to use us. He wants to live through us. He wants people to see Jesus in us. But the only way that happens is if we surrender to Him and let Him live through us. But I praise the Lord. He doesn't tell us to do something that He's not willing to do through us if we'll let Him. I praise the Lord. We have a comforter. And through the Holy Spirit, we can be obedient to every command God has given us. But that's the only way. May God help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for indwelling us. Please help me, help us. To surrender our will to yours. Lord, to get out of the way so you can live through us and do great things. Please help us, Lord, to surrender so the Holy Spirit can live through us and so that we, through Him, can demonstrate our love for you. Lord Jesus, I love you and I pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Well, so much for 20 minutes. That's 18. Brother John, I'm sorry, man. Past your bedtime. 20 minutes ago. Hey, so you think I'm kidding? Really, but to his credit, he gets up at like midnight, so. No, it's what, 4 o'clock, 4:30?
3:30. I might roll over at 3:30, 4:30. I did that. A long-winded preacher.
You were better over there with the teenagers. Yeah, you were wrong. Go for it, Smack.